Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com.
With that, I bring in one of my favorite people. Does awesome work and is an even better guy, Mike DeCourcy. Mike, welcome. Great to have you with us.
How are you, Steve?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing great.
Good.
Absolutely.
All right. We are 11 months into name, image, and likeness, along with the transfer portal being what it is. Is this model sustainable?
That's a word that gets thrown around a lot in all this. And I my question to that is, what would not be sustained? Does it mean will people keep paying lots and lots of money for name, image, and likeness rights for college athletes? Well, they may or they may not, but that's not really a concern of anybody's other than the people whose money comes out of one pocket and then the people whose money that comes into their pockets. If Jordan Addison, I don't really know what he's getting in his name, image, and likeness deal, but I do know what Nigel Pack is getting. So he's getting $800,000. That was announced and declared and all of that.
Right.
So if the next Nigel Pack doesn't get 800, they get 600. Well, you know, does that matter to me? Does it matter to you? I think it matters to that person's accountant and family, but not really to us as consumers of college sports. So, in terms of the transfer deal, that's been going on for longer than people are willing to acknowledge. I mean,
you and I both know it's like the waiver wire in April.
Yes. Yeah, because of the waivers that were being granted for no reason at all.
Right.
I mean, they'd come up with various different reasons why they had to be closer to home or why they had to get away from this coach or whatever it might be, and it'd be granted. So if you were going to grant waivers like that, then it probably made more sense to just go ahead and make it open to everybody. And if they had some common sense and foresight and they didn't want this to be the reality, then they shouldn't have allowed softball players and baseball players and track stars and all the rest to be transferring without sitting out a year. It should have been for everybody instead of just football, basketball, men's and women's. It should have been for everyone.
Right, yeah, baseball, men's ice hockey, women's basketball, men's basketball, football were the only five that didn't have that before. Okay. But the next part is, when you have talked to fans, and it was brought up to me last night again, is there any concern that the fans get turned off by this? And I will couch that by saying, people thought in professional sports that fans would be turned off by free agency, and it turned out they weren't.
Yeah, exactly. And they were supposed to be turned off by them making tens and tens of millions of dollars. They were supposed to be turned off by millions, like when they were making a million or 2 million.
Yeah.
And now we got athletes making 50 in a year, and they still are watching. So I don't think necessarily that turns it off. One thing that I would say, though, is the move to professionalize the athlete in terms of making him and her employees of the institution or employees of a separate entity that represents the institution. And I've heard that, I've heard that suggested not by anybody inside at college athletics, but the outside where all the great ideas come from, Steve. make them representatives of some entity. The University of Alabama football team, in which none of the 100 players are actually students at the University of Alabama, that I don't believe will fly for this simple reason. Give me a minor league sport that is a huge success.
There aren't.
It's not a great business. Most of them have to be subsidized by the league in some way, shape, or form by the league that they feed players to. In the case of the NBA G League, they basically fund the whole thing. In the case of major and minor league baseball, they are basically paying, to an extent, your player payroll. So your expenses are all internal office people and opening the ballpark and keeping it clean and all that stuff. So it's not a great business. And that's why I think if you move the people, the NCPA, the Players Association that Ramogi Huma has been trying to get started for 100 years.
Right.
I don't think that really is the best way for college athletes to go. I think this environment where they are students, so they're still getting education, where they are now able to be recognizing the economic value of their name and work, I think this is the sweet spot for the college athlete. And I think you go beyond this to employer, employee, and you start to foul the sweet spot.
All right. So now, in continuing the conversation, I go back to the moment a few years ago when Kane Coulter and Northwestern went through a unionization vote, and it failed by about a 3-4-1 margin at that time. In professional sports, part of what is done competitively is done through collective bargaining. Are you concerned at all that we'll lose a sense of competitiveness because it could become top heavy because there aren't any quote rules surrounding it?
It's already top heavy, Steve. Until we get a actual playoff and not what we have now, the invitational that masquerades as the college football playoff.
Yeah.
Until we have an actual playoff with automatic qualification, it's always going to be top heavy. Alabama, Oklahoma, Ohio State, and Clemson have occupied roughly 2/3
right.
of the college football playoff berth since it was introduced in 2014. That's a completely, you know, when people talk about how this is going to damage competitive balance, you can't damage a unicorn. It doesn't exist.
Right.
And this, there is zero competitive balance in college football.
Now, basketball, on the other hand, obviously the NCAA does have its TV contract with CBS and TBS that still has another, I think, 10 years to run on it, somewhere in that neighborhood. What, in your opinion, is the relevance of the NCAA at this hour?
Well, the relevance is, first of all, in that, because what you mentioned the contract,
right.
but you didn't mention the number, and the number is basically, at this point, a billion.
And that's
where it starts. I mean, that's what you make just, you know, opening the gym and throwing a ball out there. That's before you've sold a ticket, before you've sold a bucket of popcorn. So there's much more money in that tournament than just even that billion. And so I think that the smart people in college athletics understand the magic of that event. I mean, when you're talking about $1 billion for 3 weeks of basketball for 67 games, and then you consider how, you know, I mean, it's way in excess of what the regular season is worth. Even though more people watch regular season college basketball than people believe, because no particular game stands out. There are 358 teams, and almost all those games are televised in some way, shape, or form, or viewable in some way, shape, or form. So a lot of people are watching it, but there's not nearly as much money in that as there is in those 3 weeks. So I think the smart people in college basketball understand, or college athletics, I should say, understand, like, we want to have our cake and eat it too. And the cake is football, and the rest is, you know, the NCAA running championships for the track team and the cross country team, et cetera, golf, et cetera, and that tournament that returns so much money.
Now, when it comes to the college football playoff, people know I've been in favor of expansion to 12, and I was talking about 12 before they even brought it up a year ago. Okay, so we'll establish that. In college basketball, even though you and I are around it all the time, so it's really relevant to us every day, every game, some will say that college basketball's relevance is mid-February and then the tournament. Is there any concern on your part at all that the perception of college football's relevance changes because of an expanded playoff?
No, I think, first of all, that the people who say that, I believe, and I can point to specific examples, but I don't want to make any enemies.
I know.
I know where
you're going, by the way. Go ahead.
Yeah. It's a convenient excuse to get it off your plate. If you're a national voice talking about sports, you got the NFL first and foremost. You got the NBA behind that. And now you want me to talk about college basketball, too. I have to know 358 teams or at least 80 of them. No, I'll get to you in March. That's right. How they do it.
Yes.
And so they try to convince you that's the way the rest of the world is. You've been in enough full buildings.
Yes.
From State College to Lincoln. That you know that there are more people invested in this than that voice will acknowledge.
Right.
So, with college football, I think that one of the reasons why I'm so invested in automatic qualification, I go back to a column I wrote when Penn State played with Saquon and that group in the I think it was 2016 if I remember right.
2016 Big Ten Championship game. Yeah.
Yeah. When they played in that game, I remember writing, could you imagine how awesome this night would be if, on top of winning a championship, which really mattered to everyone involved, it also conveyed a spot to the playoff
right.
to the Nittany Lions.
Absolutely.
And I remember I was at Big Ten Network one weekend watching the Pac-12 championship on a treadmill, and like it didn't lead anywhere, and so
yes.
and they're playing
yeah.
it at like 9 o'clock on a Friday night, and
right.
like but if this game got you into the playoff, everybody would care.
I agree.
That's what college football is missing. And so when I hear people talk about Greg Sankey not wanting that, that to me is a very narrow view of what college football can be and should be.
Well, what it is that, that weekend then becomes, Mike, an additional layer of the playoff, that leads to the 12, but it's the additional layer that brings with it. Fans love games with stakes.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's what it comes down to. Hey, all of a sudden now the game's got stakes. You win the Pac-12 championship, you're in.
Yes. And, as big as the SEC football game is and has been for 20 years or so, it gets everybody looped in if that game means this team's going. That's how college basketball has worked. The championship week is a really fun, cool deal.
Yeah, it is.
And that championship weekend in football would be tremendous. I can't believe that they can't see that. Some of this is on the college football, people who cover the sport of college football as well, because they don't see it. They're constantly arguing for elimination of college conference championship games and never considering what they really need to do if they need to trim the schedule to expand the playoff. Get rid of the revenue game. Do we really need to see Alabama play Mercer again?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, even Saban has said that game doesn't, it should go away. If you expand the playoff and you make, the football championships more important, there'll be more money in it, and no one will need that $1 million bucks or whatever it is you get out of playing at home against a team that doesn't belong on the field with you.
Yeah, but you get to that weekend, you talk about a couple of the national voices talking about eliminating those games. Well, let's see now. ESPN doesn't carry the Big Ten championship game. Okay. They don't carry the SEC championship game. Okay. So you start going through what they don't, So it doesn't mean it all works the same way, but you can see through it sometimes. All right. So in the off season, we were able to talk about a lot of stuff, which is a lot of fun. I'm glad we were able to do that. Because I know when it comes to the transfer portal, I've already started doing some preliminary work. There's been a fair amount of movement. So in basketball, in fact, Illinois just got the kid from Baylor. So unbelievable. Mike, thanks so much. Always appreciate it. Let's not be strangers on this thing.
My pleasure, Steve. Anytime you guys want to talk, I'm here.
Thanks, Mike.
Take care.